Our great God, our dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We need the light of the world, O Lord, and we could not be lights of the world unless the Holy Spirit fill us. So, Lord, we ask in a very special way that may you remove anything that will hinder the Holy Spirit from coming in. It will block you, O Lord, from taking full control in this stony heart of mine, in this wicked heart of ours. So, Lord, we pray in a very special way that may self be set aside today, that may you take control, may you take the throne, and may you fill each and every soul here, each and every heart, with the anointing power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, please hide me behind your cross, that I might not be seen nor be heard, but Jesus and Jesus alone be seen, be heard, be lifted up and exalted. Lord, our desire is that you speak today. Lord, may this be our experience. And we pray all this in the loving and precious name of your Son, Jesus. All your children say, amen. Amen. Friends, I have to admit that the topic of the Holy Spirit does not inspire me before. All the while, I thought that this is one of the most boring topics. I was so wrong. Listen to this, friends. And I just look back on the things that I shared with you last time that I was here. That was almost 2 years ago. And friends, during the divine service, I shared the same quote. So for those of you who still remembers it, don't be weary if I read this again. As some people say, pizza tastes better in the second serving. So let this be a sweet, sweet meal for your soul. Listen to this. In giving the Holy Spirit, it was impossible for God to give more. Did you hear this? In giving the Holy Spirit, it was impossible for God to give more. This somehow boggled my mind because I was thinking, all the while I thought God is exhaustless. Friends, by the way, can you hear me at the back? Huh? Okay, praise the Lord. So listen to this. To this gift, nothing could be added. By it, all needs are supplied. The Holy Spirit is the vital presence of God. Friends, the reason why God could not give more, because what could be more than God? The Holy Spirit is His vital presence. He's giving Himself. So friends, this is one thing that I realize. You know why we are still not accomplishing the task that God has given us? Because we think that there's more than the Holy Spirit that we need. That is not our ultimate need right now. But friends, listen to this. The Holy Spirit is the vital presence of God. And if appreciated, will call forth praise and thanksgiving and will ever be springing up unto everlasting life. Friends, this is one promise. When the Holy Spirit comes in, there'll be joy. Did you hear this? Only two people loves to be joyful here. I don't know if you're addicted to sorrow. I'm so sorry. But God wants to give us joy. Can you say amen, friends? And friends, this is one thing that I realize. This is the reason why we're Adventists. Because if we have the Holy Spirit, my dear friends, there'll be joy. Even in the midst of problems, you will have joy. Friends, remember Jesus was the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Did you wonder why children are attracted to him? Children are not attracted to people who are grieving, to people that are sorrowful. They could sense that. Friends, even Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He had peace and he had joy in him. Did you hear this, friends? So, and listen to this. Yet, how few people appreciate this gift, so costly yet so free to all who will accept it. When faith takes hold of the blessing, there comes rich spiritual good. But too often, the blessing is not appreciated. We need a enlarged conception. We need an enlarged conception in order to comprehend its value. Did you hear this, friends? We need an enlarged conception in order to what? To appreciate the value that God desires to give us. And here, I'd like to give this example again and again. We only want change. But God wants to give us the whole bag. We want the crumbs, but God desires to give us the whole cake. Again, I like to say vegan cake, of course. Sweetened by dates. It's healthy cake. Friends, here I realize why the Lord desires to ask us for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit desires to lead us. Remember, friends, the Holy Spirit is our divine teacher. Listen to this beautiful quote, friends. Whatever prevents us from making Christ our entire dependence is abomination in the sight of God. Did you hear this? Whatever prevents us from making Christ our entire dependence is abomination in the sight of God. In the previous nights, remember, the Lord desires that He will be our only trust. He will be our what type of trust? Only trust, my dear friends. And I'd like to review a little bit of what we shared. For those of you who are not here, it's like, I think, 70% of you. Listen to this, friends. When man works, what's the next line? Man works. But when man prays, it's like you were here. Yeah, you were here. When man works, what's the result? Man works. But when man prays, God works. Let me complete the whole quote here. This is not from the spirit of prophecy, but it's a beautiful wisdom. The ministry of the children of God is not doing, but praying. Not strategizing, but prostrate before God, seeking His will. Seeking His what? Seeking His will. Not clever strategies for manipulating people and events, but trusting in the God who moves in the hearts of even His most implacable enemies. We do not engage in ministry and pray for God's blessing on it. Remember what we talked about a few nights ago? Most of the time, we just want the Lord's blessing, but not His presence. Friends, listen, we do not engage in ministry and pray for God's blessing on it. Prayer is the ministry from all which all other blessings or all other ministries must flow. And let me remind you of this quote from Patriarchs and Prophets. The tenor of the Bible is to inculcate distrust of human power and to encourage trust in what type of power? Divine power. Friends, just imagine this. The whole theme of this precious book is to teach us not to trust us. It's to teach us not to trust our strength, but to inculcate trust in divine power. And friends, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about faith. And I realize, friends, as I've been living this life of faith for the past 13 years, I'm 13 years old now, friends. I wish. That faith is a foreign language to us. Have you noticed, friends? Faith is quite a foreign language to us. And I remember when people told me, like, wow, Jen, you gave up so much to live your life for the Lord. And then when I look back, life that I lived before, I'm thinking, are you crazy? If I lived like that, I would have lost so much. I would have missed out on a lot of things. Friends, God's ways are actually opposite of our ways. Remember, last night I told you, or the previous night, when people asked me, Jen, how do you balance living by faith and living responsibly? I'm thinking, oh, so living by faith is not a responsible type of living. And that was a difficult argument. And I said, Lord, help. And God gave me the answer. And the answer was, brother, the only way to live responsibly is to live by faith. The only way, my dear brothers and sisters, to live responsibly is to live by what? To live by faith. Friends, here I see that faith is really a foreign language, because we were brought up here in this world to be self-sufficient. Huh? For me, self-sufficient was an admirable attribute. Like, I was taught by my mom to be self-sufficient, friends. When you're living in a third world, you have to work. Even in your sleep, you have to work. And friends, here I realize that in God's perspective, self-sufficiency is not a plus. It's a negative. It's a negative, my dear friends. Our self-sufficiency has been the one thing that's stopping us from needing what God desires for us to need. And the Lord desires for us to need Him. Friends, listen to this. The Lord reveals His will to those who are earnest and anxious to be guided. The Lord reveals His will to those who are what? Earnest and anxious to be guided. And this is one thing that I see. Like, I don't want people to know that was before, that I don't know my way. And this is actually, I think, one of the attributes of men. That's why when we go grocery shopping, we should learn from the ladies. They always ask around. That's why they go to the right aisle. For me, I was just looking around, going around. And me, I'm so geographically challenged, friends. Seriously, and praise God that I don't drive. I would have had so many adventures. And friends, this is one thing that I see. It's so easy to go from point A to point B if we know that we don't know where to go. And God would reveal His will to those who are earnest and anxious to be guided. The reason for your inefficiency is that you have given up the idea of knowing and doing the will of God. Therefore, you do not know anything positively. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 3, page 466. Friends, I have been to a lot of youth conferences. GYCs, like when GYC happened in 2002, there's a lot of GYCs that happened all over the world. And one of the places, I will not tell you which place, one of the places in Southeast Asia, they don't know what to do, friends. This is their first time like having a nationwide youth gathering of that sort. Because when you say like youth conference back in Southeast Asia, there's always competition. There's always ball games. There's always black eye after the conference. And friends, this time, they're doing this something that they have not done before in their country. And friends, the people who were asked to do this were just like fish out of water. And they want to do this with their whole might, but they see that the task is way, way, way above them. So I remember on the first day before we started, and I was there to lead out prayer. Just imagine that, friends, that's almost 13 years ago. And that's still what I'm doing. And while I was there, they were so, what do you call this? They were so nervous, knowing that with them alone, they could not accomplish anything. So you know what they did? They woke up the prayer team. Me and the three other prayer team members. You know what time? At 3 a.m. We're thinking that we're going to be sleeping until, because I'll be leading out prayer, not during that day, but the day after. And friends, all the while I thought that I could sleep in. They knocked on our door. You could see the desperation in their faces. Jim, please, call the other prayer team. We need your prayer. We are just like overwhelmed right now. And you could see this concern, this burden in their faces. You know what we did? We gathered them all together and we prayed. And there were a lot of tears that were shed. Friends, you know what happened? That conference became the most successful conference they had. A lot of professionals, young professionals, even left their job to become missionaries for the Lord. Some of them just gave their all. And there were a lot of beautiful, wonderful things that happened. And same is true with the other place that we went to. They don't know what to do and they cried out. And friends, you know what? That was the best conference that they've had. The next year, it was a different story. It was not as powerful as the year before. You know what? Because the moment they saw that something powerful happened, and then they begin to think, oh, next year we'll improve this, we'll improve that, we'll improve this aspect. Let's add more to this. They forgot the main reason what brought them the success. And you know what? This is one amazing thing, because as an outsider looking in the inside, to the inside, you see all these things transpire before your very eyes. And so I reminded the president, hey, in the middle of the conference, I saw that the conference was really going downhill. And I told him, hey, you forgot something. And I said, what? Yeah, because remember last year, you were knocking at our door at 3 a.m.? Every morning, by the way, friends. Every morning. And said, but right now, we didn't hear any knocks. And you're not even there during the whole group prayer session. I don't even see you and your team. And then he said, oh, Jen, we were so busy doing anything else, something else that we thought are important. Oh, we forgot about this. Friends, you know what? He called his team. And you know what happened, friends? The moment they lose their focus on God, they started looking at each other. Same is true with the other group. But the moment they started humbling themselves before God, the Lord stepped in. And the Lord salvaged the rest of the conference. Friends, this is one thing that I see. Uniformity of it all. As I go from place to place, conference after conference, continent after continent, country after country. The most successful part of an organization is the beginning part. You know why? Because they don't know what to do. Did you hear this, friends? The most successful at the beginning part, because you don't have an idea what you're doing. But the moment you think you have an idea what to do, that's when you let go of the one who helped you. And friends, I remember when people ask me questions, especially a fellow youth leader. He will ask me, Jem, what are the programs that we could implement to make a youth program successful? What are the techniques, the strategies? Friends, you know what? It's not about programming. It's not about techniques. It's not about strategies. Have you noticed, friends, we always ask the wrong questions. It's like my allergies before. I had canker sores, friends, like all throughout the year. And so I asked one medical missionary, and I asked him, what's the best cure for this? And then he said to me, you asked the wrong question. I said, what's the right question? What's causing it? And you know what's causing it? For my allergies? I did not even know that it was allergies. It was peanuts. My favorite thing in the world. That was brokenhearted. Friends, in the Philippines, there are different types of peanuts. And yes, I have peanuts under my bed, friends. I have stacks of peanuts. And now thinking, oh Lord. Friends, what is the cause? What is the cause of the success? It's not the programming. It's not the strategies. It's not the techniques. It's your need of the Holy Spirit during that time. Friends, we just want, most of the time, we just want to know the method, but we overlook the principle. It's because of your desperation. That's why God stepped in. And you give the credit to the things that you did here, you did that, but you forget that it was your desperation that brought the Holy Spirit to step in. That's why God has to bring us to difficult places, that we'll remember our need of Him. Remember one of the pioneers of GYC we were talking last year, Pastor Sebastian Braxton. He hates me when I call him pastor, but he's still a pastor to me. He tells me, Jem, I praise God that this leadership right now is experiencing tough times, because tough times produces strong people. Strong people produces good times, and good times produces weak people, and weak people produces tough times. Friends, you see the cycle? Friends, do we have to go through the cycle? No, we don't. That's not God's plan, friends. But for your benefit, you have to go through that to remember that it's not by your might, not by your power, but only by His Spirit. Not even your spirit, friends. Can you say amen, friends? God wants to bring us to that point. Friends, listen to this. From the soul, Desire of Ages, page 300. From the soul that feels its need, nothing is withheld. Oh, at least two persons were inspired of this. From the soul that feels its need, nothing is withheld. Amen. You don't need to have a cue to say amen, friends. Friends, isn't this powerful? Nothing is withheld from those who are desperately needing Him. So the answer to our dilemma, friends, is nothing else than our need of Him. Listen, friends, God is the treasure house of all wisdom. We've read this a few days ago. God is the treasure house of all wisdom. And the humblest worker that depends on this undiminished supply will be able to work the works of Christ. Oh, and again, I'd like to review, especially for those who are not here, wisdom, the definition in the LNG White app, the fifth definition, my favorite, sincere and uniform obedience to His commands. That is wisdom. Did you hear this, friends? And most of the time, we associate wisdom with intellect, experience, your ways to maneuver out of a difficult situation, innovativity or something that is attributed to man. But friends, wisdom alone comes from God. And would you agree that all wisdom comes from Him?
Yes.
Amen? Praise God, brother. Friends, all our wisdom combined, compared it with the wisdom of God, how do we fare? Like 4% maybe? I will say 4%. It's actually negative. Because remember, faith is like a foreign language. It's like opposite of our understanding is God's ways. Listen, friends, as a Bible commentary about wisdom, it says, proper recognition of God and submission to Him is the important factor. Humility, reverence, respect, adoration, faith, these are the aspects of wisdom that supersedes earthly knowledge. This is not how the world defines wisdom. This is not how it defined wisdom before. But listen to this, friends. Listen to this. One sentence of Scripture is of more value than 10,000 of man's ideas or arguments. You want me to read it again? Okay. One sentence of Scripture is of more value than 10,000 of man's ideas or arguments. Friends, this is wisdom. And remember this beautiful verse, Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the what? By the breath of His mouth. He spoke, and what happened? It was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Friends, what if, oh, by the way, have you noticed that God's wisdom, God's direction is mostly ridiculous? Huh? When He told Moses, go forward. Lord, if I was Moses and looking at the Red Sea, by the way, friends, I love to swim. I know how to swim. I like the little chihuahua that swims in the water. I mean, Moses, friends, Moses has no swimming lessons. Just imagine if Moses argued like, really, Lord, look at this. I have not completed my swimming 101. If He gave all the logical reasons not to move forward, my dear friends, would they have experienced a miracle? Friends, God's wisdom looks so ridiculous in the eyes of men. But the only way to see things opening before you is following that ridiculous command. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Friends, what if Gideon stayed with his 32,000 and would not have listened to God? Then God told him, reduce your soldiers. They are too many. If Gideon was saying, would say like, you don't know math, Lord? 32 versus the multitude that is unnumbered is still too little. But God brought them to the point of what? 300 soldiers? And God equipped them with weapons that are not even weapons? Isn't that ridiculous? But friends, no one died. In Hollywood's 300, they all died. But in this 300 in the Bible, no one died. And what if the Israelites did not ask for a king. Did you hear this? What if Israelites did not ask for a king? God would have been their king until the end. Friends, most of the time, we see it from the wisdom of the world and not the wisdom of God. Friends, listen to this and complete this. If God is for us, oh, friends, you will only have this confidence when you know that God is the one leading you. Listen, God has promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the world." If Christ is our companion because we wear his yoke and lift his burdens, we shall gain advanced victories. Did you picture this, friends? Advanced victories? Victories that you have not seen before. Victories that are not, I repeat, advanced. It's updated, like your iPhone software. Updated victories, my dear friends. This is the promise. And I remember when GYC 2019, when we went to Iceland. Oh, my dear friends, everyone was so excited to go to Iceland, but at the same time, we were nervous because this is the first time that we're going there and actually not knowing what to do because they said that nothing works in Iceland, friends. If Portland is a secular country, GYC is something else. Iceland is something else. Just imagine, friends, this place is a very spiritualistic place. Gnostic gods are being like worshipped in Iceland. Their streets there are called like Loki, Thor, Theoden, or something. Just imagine, these are like Norse gods. And so when we were preparing to go there, I think months of preparation. You know what? Before the time even came, everything that we prepared for fell apart. The housing, the vehicles, everything, friends. You know why the Lord allowed it to happen? So that we would practice this. Just imagine, friends, while we are there already, things were still surprising us left and right. And the officers will tell me, "Jen, entertain the group first." I said, "What?" And so we will have some activities while they are meeting for the new thing that just came up. And so, friends, get this. You are like 40 right now, Brother Junior, in this group. We are like nearly 50 there. In just 2 days, the Lord bonded us all together so close. Because we are all desperate. We don't know what to do. So we come before God asking Him, "Lord, please step in." And the pastor who was with us said, "Jem, I've been to a lot of mission trips, but I have not seen the camaraderie of these people." You know, what's the age range? From 14 years old to 73 years old. But we became families. Different personalities, friends. Friends, when you seek out God's leading and guidance, when you seek the Holy Spirit more than you seek for anything else, He shows up. And friends, get this. We did not do evangelistic series in Iceland. We did not do anything really extra special. We just went around and prayed. Prayed for people that we meet. Prayed for the houses that they glowed. We glowed Iceland. And get this. While we were there, the website that was there in the globe pamphlets is not working. So we have to pray and all. Just imagine you already giving these pamphlets and all and your website is not still working. And it's so complicated that the person that is in charge is in the U.S. and it would not work if you're operating it from Iceland. And God made it happen. And in just the day that it went up, thousands of visits already. Friends, God did something really powerful. And then when we left that place, later on, I think that was July, August, September, October, like November, I think 3 months later, I talked to the person, to the division president. He said, "Jen, Remember you came to Iceland? He told me what was happening in Iceland, friends. People were coming to the church asking for the ones that have given them these glow tracks. Amen. They want to know more about Jesus. Amen. They want to do Bible studies one after another, friends. So is it true that nothing works in Iceland? It is not, friends. Because we asked the wrong questions before. We did the wrong strategy before. We just wanted the method, but not really the process of how we got there. But friends, listen to this. I love this. We need to look constantly to Jesus. We need to look how? Constantly to Jesus, realizing that it is His power which does the work. It is His what?
Power.
Not even all our powers combined. Yes, friends, your power matters. But the question is, does God need us? Let's just be serious about this. Does God really need us? Sorry to tell you, friends. It's nice to think that God would need my help. But actually, friends, God could have accomplished this with angels. But He desires for you to join in. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because He doesn't want you to miss out on the joy. Because He knows for a fact that this will be beneficial for you. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
The benefit comes back to me. And why, friends, am I doing this for free for the past 13 years? Because the benefit is more than salary. God desires to give us so much more, but we do not ask for Him. And listen, friends, only the work accomplished with much prayer and sanctified by the merit of Christ will in the end prove to have been efficient for good. Did you hear this, friends? Only the work accomplished with what? Much prayer. Planning is important, but prayer is more important, friends. Planning without prayer is disaster. But planning that is somehow springing up from desperation, asking from God, you know what your planning will happen if this is the way you do it? It's just, your planning will just be listening to God. What would you have us do? And God will say, at the next stoplight, turn to your left. Because God has promised to lead us every step of the way. Can you say amen to that? Friends, I remember when I was in this place back in the Philippines, we have this place called Boracay. This is, my Filipino friends know about this. This is like a destination in the Philippines. Just imagine, friends, 5 kilometer stretch of white sand. No rocks. And it's like powdery sand. And when you step on the beach, the water just, the sand just go up and down. And you have to go like 50 meters to 60 meters so that water could be this deep. And you look down, you see your toes. And when it's full moon, you go in evening, you see your toes. It's beautiful. But friends, what they're going through there, the churches, it's a challenge. It's a touristy place. And you know, when there's tourism, there's just a lot of distractions and all. So I was asked there to accompany an evangelist and to lead out in prayer. And friends, they put us in a spot where it's the most challenging part of that island. They said that's like a closed area. The Adventists wanted to do evangelist series there. They were chased out. Every time they do door knocking, they are rejected and all. And so the elders were telling us, this is the wrong spot that you choose, guys. And I said, I didn't choose this. It's the ministry who sent us here. Make long story short, friends, the ministry somehow sent dental, surgical, all this medical stuff to do, what do you call this? Health clinic. And so people were responding and all. But, friends, but this is the deal. They have to do an evangelistic series in the place of the choosing of those group. So they choose that difficult spot, and we were there. And friends, my friend who was the evangelist, I'm sorry, Brother Martin, but I have to share your name here. Brother Martin Kim, he's also Korean. Brother Martin Kim, he is a man of prayer. So he will gather us, me and his wife at first, and he will tell us, you know what? We should use this spare time that we have for prayer. And I'm thinking, how about the beach? We're there for 21 days, friends. So before he calls for prayer, I run to the beach. 21 days. I look like a charcoal after that, friends. I was so burned. The beach was beautiful. But you know what? The most amazing thing? The meeting was challenging, but it was amazingly beautiful. The first night, when we had that evangelistic series, it was challenging. Friends, it was in the month of July, June or July. And June and July is the rainy season back home. Rainy season. By the way, there's four seasons also in the Philippines. The dry season, the wet season, the very dry, and the very wet. So we are in the very wet season. And friends, you know where they put the evangelistic series? On an open basketball court. And the only roof that we have is a parachute that has a hole in the middle. On that night, and we did not have a prayer room. Remember, this is open. So they just gave me like a table this big. And we have four chairs. And we look like drunk people who are bowing down in the corner of the basketball court. So we just prayed and prayed while the meetings are going on. On that first night, friends, you know what happened? We did not even know. We did not even know until the next day. Because the moment everything was done, we went back to our hotels. And the moment we step in, there's like a monsoon that happened. Friends, you know what happened? 3 kilometers away from us. This island is not so big, friends. 3 kilometers away from us was continual downpour. There was flooding there. The whole time that we're having the evangelistic series, not a drop in our place. And friends, this is quite an amazing experience. One by one, church members started showing up and started praying. And you know what? We were praying there, Lord, please, even touch the hearts of those people who are just passing by or the people who are listening in their homes. And then a few days later, we saw someone staggering, going into the meeting. He's drunk. And he said, I listened to you, to your presentation, and it's the truth. And I want to follow. I want to be baptized. Friends, he wants to be baptized. He's drunk. And we told him, just sit down first. Listen in. The next night he came, he was sober. He continued on listening. And friends, I remember the elder told us, Jem, if we were in the other part of the island, we would have, like for sure, like at least 4 or 5 baptism. This place is just hard as a stone, hard as a rock. They don't listen here. Friends, I remember on the last, before I share that, one of the nights, while we were having a meeting, all of a sudden, the transformer in the electrical wire exploded. Friends, when transformer explodes, you know what that means? Black out. Friends, it exploded. It was like in the movies. And people who were there listening to the presentation went away screaming. It was a scene. And while they were screaming, and we were just praying, Lord, please bring the people back. Remember, it's supposed to cut off all the lights. But within 5 minutes, electricity came back. And people came back in. And so we were just like wrestling with God. And on the last night, friends, remember, this is 21 days. On the last night, we are there. And all of a sudden, while we were praying, we could feel the trickle of the rain. And so we said, Lord, this is the last night. Please hold the rain as you have held it for the previous nights. And the rain began to be consistent. I said, Lord, I will not leave this place until you stop the rain. I was trying to suggest God what to do. And then And it became like strong. And by the way, friends, our place is outside of the parachute. And so we were really exposed to the elements until, and it was getting stronger and stronger. And then my friend grabbed me. And then so, let's go. Let's find some covering. So we went behind the stage. And I think this was a former toilet. And then instead of sitting down, because it's a small place, so all four of us were just standing. And then I was crying. I said, Lord, you held back the rain for the past 20 nights. Why not now, last night? And while I was crying, asking God, Lord, please let your spirit be poured out here. And all of a sudden, one person came to me running. Said, Jen, continue praying. The people are running, coming in, soaking wet. And they were there soaking wet, friends. And when the decision card was being given out, the Bible worker is also giving out aspirins because they were shaking. And when the baptismal call, appeal was given, 25 came forward, friends. They have not witnessed that before. 25 souls came forward weeping. And I remember during that Sabbath when we had our baptism in that church. And by the way, friends, remember we did that? We started 3 Sabbaths ago. Martin Kim will wake us up and call the church members to gather in the church at 6 a.m. and to pray over the names of those who came. And when the baptism came, when one by one are being dipped in the baptismal pool, it was not just them who were crying, it was us who were crying. And the elder who told me, Jem, this wouldn't work here, shook my hand after he shook the hands of the baptismal candidates. He said, only God could make this possible. Friends, this is what happens when we see God in charge. Can you say amen to that, friends? Listen to this. God would work mightily for His people if they would place themselves wholly under His guidance. Did you hear this, friends? God will work how? Mightily if we would only place ourselves wholly, entirely under His guidance. They need a constant abiding of the Holy Spirit. And listen to the other condition that He gave. If there were more prayer, if there were what? In the councils of those bearing responsibilities, more humbling of the heart. God, let me read that again. I got too excited. I tripped. If there were more prayer in the councils of those bearing responsibilities, more humbling of the heart before God, we should see abundant evidence of divine leadership. Who among you here desires that, friends? Abundant evidence of divine leadership. Friends, you know for a fact, when God is the one leading, even the enemies of God will notice. Friends, listen to this. And our work will make a rapid progress. Friends, you know what's slowing down the work of God? Because we're not asking for His leading. We think we know where we're going, but we don't. Friends, until here, until now, we're still here. This is GYC 2023. This is not supposed to happen. This GYC is supposed to be HYC now. Heaven's Youth for Christ. Location, Tree of Life. Friends, why are we still here? Friends, listen to this. Can I share one more story? Yes. You don't have any choice. But luck would have to wait. Friends, I remember when GYC approached Melody, my sister Melody Mason. I said, Melody, that was I think 2016 to 17. Imel, we need your help. We need to revival happening again at GYC. It's becoming so big. And that year, Melody so happened to visit the conference back in the Philippines. And when Melody came to the campus, she was just like, Jem, there's a different feeling here. And said, what do you mean? Yeah, it's just a different feeling. And friends, before we started the whole conference, we had to gather the young people who were there to pray and have a united prayer at like 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. And while we were praying, Melody was in tears. I said, the prayers of these young people are so sincere. And I told her, you know what? These young people have been praying for the past like 100 days in preparation for this. And so Melody, when she was asked by Pastor Muiz Ratsara during the time, she told Muiz, you know what? Do what they did back in the Philippines. Bathe the whole conference with prayer. Have more emphasis in prayer. And during the time, the VP for programming, Brother Jonathan Walter, who's also big on prayer because he experienced GYC Europe, and Jerry and Janet Page spoke there about the importance of the Holy Spirit. And so he was excited, and he was so serious of bringing prayer into the conference. He said, Jem, I want you to speak. I want you to promote prayer during plenary sessions. I'll give you 9 to 10 minutes. Friends, you know how big is that time slot at GYC? Brother Junior here is just laughing because he knows. That's like luxury. Seriously, friends. You know those seminar speakers that stands up and promotes their seminar? You know how much time they're given? 30 seconds per person. And for an organization to put 9 to 10 minutes, that means commitment. It means, friends, that they know what is the most important thing. They know for a fact what will keep this thing running. It's not programming. It's not powerful speakers. It's God. And I remember during that year, I heard from one of the leaders. There was a comment that he heard from one of the leadership. Said, oh man, our speakers, our lineup of speakers this year is not as powerful as before. But friends, get this. The atmosphere in that conference was different from the other conference. When the appeal of these not-so-great speakers were made, there were young people moving forward, weeping in responding to this appeal. Friends, when God steps in, He will use the most ordinary vessel to shine the brightest glory that He desires. And friends, listen to this thought here. The Lord has shown me a little thought before I read this. This does not just pertain what I'm about to read to the pastors, to the leaders, because all of us are leaders in our own respective way. Can you say amen to that? This pertains to each and every one of us. Listen, friends, the Lord has shown me that men in responsible positions are standing directly in the way of His work. We all are standing directly in the way of His work. You know why, friends? Because we think we know where we're going. And when we do not desperately ask for His guidance, my dear friends, we're standing in His way. And friends, this is one thing, a little summary that I like to share. When we are not bowing down humbly before Him, desperately asking for His way and His leading, we're actually standing in His way. We better step out of God's way and bow before Him. Can you say amen to this? Listen to this, friends. I'm about to close, promise. When all shall take their appointed place. When all shall what? Their appointed place. God somehow emphasized here, where is our appointed place? Our appointed place in God's work. Earnestly seeking wisdom and guidance from Him. This is our appointed place. To what? Earnestly seek for wisdom and guidance from Him. Then a great advance will have been made toward letting the light shine into the world. Friends, did you hear this? If there were more asking, if there were more desperation from God's church, then God will step in and there will be a great advance. And listen to the last line in this quote. It says, When man shall cease to place themselves in the way, God will work among us as never before. Who among you here desires for that to happen? In your own personal life? In your own family? It's free to raise your hand. If you don't want it, I cannot force you. In your church, do you desire this? My dear friends, we do not show much desire most of the time. We do not show much desperation most of the time. Friends, you know why God is not giving us? Because I think we take it for granted. Friends, when we receive something that we have not asked for, most of the time we just acknowledge it to circumstances. But if we have pleaded for something, cry out for something, and when it's given, you know for a fact that that is the answer to your prayer. Can you say amen? Amen. Friends, the Lord desires to give it. Let's pray for much hunger, for much desperation for this. And listen to this, friends. Only the work accomplished with much prayer and sanctified by the merits of Christ will in the end prove to have been efficient for good. Friends, in this last portion of our message, by the way, this is not the last message for today. We will have the next message, the last message, at what time? Hold on. 2:30 or 3 o'clock. It will be here. Friends, I know for a fact that I have stood in God's way. In my life, there have been so many moments, friends, I went ahead of God and not asked for His leading, His guidance. And self rose up, and I did not even realize that I stood in God's way. Friends, if you have the same conviction as I am, you think that you have stood in God's way, and you want to say, Lord, forgive me. I want to follow your way from now on. I want that fulfillment of the promise that your work will make a rapid progress in my life, in my family's life, in my ministry, in my church. Lord, I give you the permission. Move me out of the way, and may your will be done. If that is your desire, friends, I invite you to come forward. Come, friends. Praise the Lord. I can't imagine how much the Lord desires. Come a little bit more forward. Yeah, there's a lot of people who's... Friends, if it is your desire to finish God's work, can you imagine God's longing to finish this work? If you're desperate, friends, to finish this work, God desires it even more. Amen. If you're longing to be in heaven because you are sick and tired of the suffering that you see all around, can you picture God's heart that is breaking every time He sees His children breaking? Friends, when I look back, I realize the reason why Portland or other places in this world are going downhill is because of me. I stepped in His way. I look back even in my previous presentation. It was just entertainment. It was not really seeking after what we need. What we need is Him. And most of the time I just pray, Lord, please give me the boldness to preach your word. And I forgot to pray, Lord, please give me the boldness to admit that I need you. Give me the boldness to humble myself before you. Give me the boldness, O Lord, to say I'm sorry. Give me the boldness, dear Lord, to admit that I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. So Lord, as friends, as we move forward, let us keep this in mind. It's not by might, nor by power, nor all of our abilities, our gifts combined, but only by His Spirit. Only by humbling ourselves before Him that God could take over. Let's bow our heads for this God who deserves our worship. Our great God, our dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before Your presence, acknowledging, O Lord, that we have stood in Your way. Lord, please forgive us for the moments that we have given excuses, pointing other people, but not myself, as the cause of You not coming soon. So Lord, I ask in a very special way that may the convicting power of Your Holy Spirit continue to work in my heart. That this hardened heart, O Lord, not just be softened, but be replaced by the heart of Jesus. Father, I ask in a very special way, may You continue, Lord, to draw me and my brothers and my sisters here closer and closer to Your sight. And we'll see a clearer glimpse of the beautiful God that has been pursuing us. The beautiful God, beautiful Savior that has been so patient, so merciful, and so kind. Lord, I ask in a very special way that may You remove self, that may we invite Jesus in. Father, there's a lot of work that needs to get done. And Lord, thank You so much for helping us realize today that all those things, all these things will not be possible without the full control of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. So Lord, we ask, please Lord, take control. And if there is still anything in our lives, in my life, in my heart, O Lord, that I cannot give You, Lord, we give You permission to take it out of our hands. And take away my ego, O Lord, my pride, especially, Lord, things that makes myself grow bigger. And Lord, I pray, may replace it with the humility of Jesus. May You replace it, O Lord, with the meekness of Jesus. Father, I ask in a very special way that may You draw us so near to You that we will not see anything else or anyone else except the beautiful face of our Savior. So Lord, we pray in a very special way as we go and have our potluck, O Lord, Father, even in our conversation, may we not forget who the center of this conversation is. It's You, O Lord. Father, we pray in a very special way in preparation for GYC. Lord, may You pour Your Spirit upon us. May You pour Your Spirit, Lord, upon Portland. Father, it's quite foolish in the eyes of men or even in the eyes of church why GYC chose Fort Portland. But it was not GYC's choice, Lord. It is Your choice. You want to reach this place. So, Lord, I ask in a very special way that none of us will stand in Your way. May You do the things that You have not done before here in Portland. May Portland will experience something that they have not experienced before. So, Lord, we pray, please pour a full measure of Your Holy Spirit upon this languishing place that needs Jesus. Lord, we praise You and we thank You because we know that we're praying to a God who hears and answers prayer. We are praying to a God who will not hold back anything, especially for the salvation of His people. So Lord, once again we ask, fill us with Your Spirit. Give us that hunger, give us that desperation that only You can fill. And thank You so much, Lord, because You are faithful to what You have promised. And Lord, we pray all these things in the loving and precious name of Your Son, Jesus, all Your children say, amen. Amen.